From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, May 8th, 2026. Ranked choice voting appears to be gaining traction among some Republican candidates for governor in Maine after years of GOP resistance. Kevin Miller reports.
For the last decade, many state Republican leaders have urged voters not to use the ranked choice process. But earlier this week, gubernatorial candidate Robert Wessels encouraged his supporters to rank rival Jonathan Bush number two on their ballots. And on Thursday night, David Jones announced an alliance with Ben Midgley during a live debate hosted by WGME and the Bangor Daily News.
And we're going to work together. And I'm going to tell you this, that if you are voting for me, please give me your first vote and give him your second.
Midgley encouraged his supporters to rank Jones second. Bobby Charles, who some polls have shown leading the seven-person field, skipped the debate. But in a statement, he questioned whether Jones and Midgley would keep their promises as governor if they cannot be trusted to, quote, keep their word on ranked choice voting during a primary campaign. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins says she's still evaluating a proposal to spend $1 billion on security upgrades for President Donald Trump's White House ballroom project. Steve Missler has more.
At issue is whether American taxpayers should fund security measures for the president's controversial ballroom after he's repeatedly said that private money will be used for the project. The security proposal is expected to be tucked into a broader spending package for immigration enforcement and is more than double the $400 million price tag to construct the ballroom. Speaking at a manufacturing event in South Portland on Friday, Collins said she needs to learn more about the initiative. But she attempted to draw a distinction between privately funding the ballroom and security upgrades that may be needed to protect the president.
There, I believe, is a plan for a bunker to be built underneath the ballroom. And that may make sense. I don't know because I haven't heard testimony or seen the justification for it.
Senate Republicans are using the reconciliation process to pass the funding bill, which means they can bypass Democrats with a simple majority. However, a few Republican defections could sink the proposal. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
U.S. Senate candidate Graham Plattner wants to eliminate federal taxes on gas and diesel, part of his energy plan that includes freezing electricity rates and expanding home weatherization. As Peter McGuire reports, the presumptive Democratic nominee's proposal targets fossil fuel companies and the ultra-wealthy.
Plattner says the 18-cent per gallon federal gas tax hits working-class Mainers the hardest. Instead, he thinks funding for roads and bridges should come from new taxes on billionaires. He says that relying on fossil fuels for basic highway infrastructure does not make sense if the country wants to reduce the use of those fuels in transportation. Plattner's Take Back American Power plan also calls for a windfall tax on big oil profits, creation of a national energy infrastructure fund, and permitting reform for clean energy and electric transmission developments. The plan also proposes to freeze electric rate increases for 4 years and to use funding from energy leases and windfall profits to pay for needed electric grid updates. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
State employees who want to use GLP-1 drugs for weight loss will soon be required to enroll in a lifestyle and nutrition management program in order to have insurance coverage. Jonathan French is union co-chair of the State Employee Health Commission. He says GLP-1 drugs are now a major cost driver for the state employee health plan.
Because these GLP-1 medications are so expensive, we want to make sure that people on them have success so that that investment really, you know, is worth it.
French says the new plan takes effect in July and members with current GLP-1 prescriptions must enroll in the nutrition program by the end of October. Those who take the drugs for diabetes and other qualifying conditions will not be subject to the new requirement. Moody's Ratings has upgraded the financial outlook for Northern Light Health from negative to stable. Moody's says the revision reflects an ongoing turnaround of financial performance that's allowing Northern Light to reduce operating losses and stabilize its cash reserves. The health system had more than $570 million in outstanding debt at the end of the 2025 fiscal year. According to Moody's, ongoing challenges for Northern Light include elevated labor costs. Last month, S&P Global Ratings also upgraded Northern Light's status to stable. Thousands of students are set to earn their degrees this weekend as nearly a dozen main colleges and universities hold their commencement ceremonies. Maddie Smith has a few highlights.
To kick things off, the University of Southern Maine will hand out 40 doctoral degrees, a record number, in a ceremony Friday night. And in Orono, actor and University of Maine alumnus Timothy Simons will be the commencement speaker as more than 2,000 degrees are awarded to graduates. More than 40% of UMaine System undergraduates are considered first-generation students. Among them is David Wrinkle, a 65-year-old teacher in Harrington who is completing his degree at the University of Maine 47 years after he took his first college class. At the University of Maine Farmington, Kristen Plamondon is the first-ever graduate student commencement speaker. And finally, the Maine Community College system is on track to have a record number of graduates this year, following 3 years of record high fall enrollment under the Free Community College program. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Bowdoin College is one of thousands of schools across the country affected by a data breach on the education learning platform Canvas. The platform was temporarily taken offline Thursday as Canvas's parent company investigated the incident and implemented additional safeguards. A representative for Bowdoin says that students, faculty, and staff have been notified and that the school's IT department is taking steps to protect campus systems. According to the company's website, names, email addresses, student ID numbers, and messages between Canvas users were exposed in the breach, but financial information and government identifiers were not. Lewiston police have charged two teenage boys in connection with a shooting Thursday afternoon that injured a third teen who remains hospitalized in stable condition. In a statement, police say they responded to reports of screaming and multiple gunshots on Avon Street near Central Maine Medical Center. When they arrived, they found a 14-year-old with a gunshot wound to the leg. They have since charged a 13-year-old with elevated aggravated assault and a 15-year-old with carrying a concealed handgun. Both are being held at the Long Creek Youth Development Center. During their investigation, police also say they recovered three handguns, two of which were determined to be stolen. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.